there. It is April 12th, 2017. And today it's a brand new day on Start Me Up because there's a new co-host and her name is Steph Walton. So welcome, Steph. Yay.
A pleasure to be here. So oh my gosh.
You're my new partner. We're partners now. And so this means that with the exception of every once in a while when something comes up, you know, we're going to be doing the show together every day that we do the show.
And that's amazing.
And I'm really excited because, you know, back in July of last year, I was listening to WTF and I thought, oh, I can do that. And then, you know, so I started doing it. And I mean, yes, I obviously I can handle it, but it's much easier to have somebody to bounce off of. And it's, you know, because I'm not a famous person, it's not like I can go get, you know, big, huge stars to be on the show to interview. And it's not always so easy to find somebody who's engaging. And obviously you are, and we have a good rapport. So I think this is going to be really a cool, just like a cool new direction.
I so agree. This, you know, radio was my first love. And the reason I loved it so much is because of the banter between either, you know, talk show host and guest or morning show people. And so when we started talking about doing this podcast together, I'm like, oh my God, we get to have that magic. And who cares if stars are on? I mean, great if they want to come on, but we don't need them, honey.
No. Well, why, you know, let's let everybody know how we met. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but our first introduction was from that website, Help a Reporter Out.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember the deal, but I shared that story of there was a an ABC News, anchor who I thought was handsome. And so I wrote, this was a long time ago. This was back in 2000.
Oh my God.
I wrote him like literally hand wrote, or maybe I did it on the computer and printed it out. But I wanted to meet him. And I thought, you know what? I just know I can meet this guy. So I wrote up this funny letter. And I, you know, I said, if I were to see you in a bar/coffee house, I would accidentally on purpose bump into you. And, you know, and then I let him know that my father used to work for ABC News, and I dropped a few names just to let him know I wasn't some crazy person that, you know, out of nowhere. And I ended it with, please disregard if you're married or gay. And lo and behold, I get this email from him. And I don't remember what the Help a Reporter Out question was that you guys put out, but that I do remember this is how I, you know, responded to you. And so I wound up going out with this guy and he was just not for me and it didn't work. But he thought it was really funny that I said, please disregard if you're married or gay, because in the email thing he wrote, you certainly made me laugh. And so anyway, I shared that story with you and then that led to me being a guest on your show, my mother and I actually, the Lady Brain Show, which back in the day, back in 2012, you were doing it with someone else whose name escapes me.
I had a co-host, Lauren Schiller.
Okay.
And we were radio on TV at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of, it was rudimentary.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it. We were sitting in the studio at Fantasy in Berkeley and we had our headphones on. If I remember correctly, we were doing it with headphones at the time. Yeah.
I have pictures on my cover photos of.
I can dig up those pictures too. Great. You and your mom.
Yeah.
We had an amazing time. I think we talked mostly about some of the stuff you were doing and it was kind of like, well, it was almost like a Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel moment. It's like, Anne, thank you so much for being here, but we just wasted it all the time.
Exactly. My mom was going to talk about the book Ain't No Sunshine that we did together and I was going to talk about the Virgin Diaries. So, and that was just when I was named spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote, which I think is funny.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of covered
That's why we had to. We had to give the whole segment or segments to you. It was very, it was great. But that was the beginning. And then after I've been a follower of yours and I've been a fan, you know, online and love what you do there. And then I think I reached out to you separately and said, come on. And then Peyton's Choice was just coming out and it was right before the election. And of course we had to have you on. And well, then you know, and here well, we go. We rekindled the
You know
the
what's
love
really
affair.
Funny is that I drove down to San Francisco to do your show, and I timed it right, but I mean, I was just right up to the wire. So I needed to find a place to park. And, you know, San Francisco, so much fun for finding places to park.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finally did. And like, I got out of my car and just zoomed into the studio. And then I left and I thought, where's my car? And I was just, I knew basically where, I can't even remember if I memorized the street name. I think I glanced at the street name to try to remember it, but then I promptly forgot it. So I was walking around aimlessly thinking, oh my God, I'm just going to be stuck here in San Francisco walking around all day. So I saw some firemen and I walked, it was like a firehouse, and I walked up to the firehouse and I told them, look, I know I parked near a school, and it was so cute because they sent me off in the correct direction, but they said, if you can't find your car, come back and we'll take you around on our little truck and you can look for it. I thought that was so cool.
That is cool, because that's a neighborhood that wandering aimlessly around in,
yeah, the homeless
sometimes
people.
Be, you know, it could be a little sketchy.
Yeah, there was some homeless people, and you know, it was like, I mean, not that I was afraid of the homeless people. I
no,
felt
it's
bad.
A real, it can get a little druggy.
Yeah, that was
is
the problem.
The
it's like,
yeah,
you don't know what you're gonna find there. But anyway, so yeah, so we did the Lady Brain show, which is now just you by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
that was fun. And,
it was fun.
And then Trump got elected and everything went to shit.
Oh, and were we just so sure that wasn't going to happen?
I know.
We were feeling so fierce. We were just like chicks,
yeah,
with power, and like, this is our moment. And finally, equal rights. Finally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, now where are we? How many steps back did we just take?
Well, you know what? Now that you bring that equal rights thing up, I don't know if you're aware, but Nevada just ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. Did you
I
know that?
I am aware. Yes, I am. Then, yes, I did know that.
You know what I also just saw? Somebody on Facebook, this just blew my mind. They posted an article from Playboy that the Equal Rights Amendment is back on the table.
Playboy, and it's like, coming through.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, for real. And you know, but you know, that actually brings me to one of the first things that I wanted to talk about with you, because I'm feeling lost as a feminist. I mean, mm-hmm, I think that it's not that I'm lost in who I am as a feminist. It's just when I started doing all of this online, you know, feminism chatter, It was kind of the thing to do. It was in 2012. Rush Limbaugh called Sandra Flick a slut, and all the women on the internet who believed in equality were kind of coming together and fighting against, you know, the Tea Party and the GOP politicians that were legislating our vaginas and all of this. And it was kind of easy because I just would take a cue off of what I saw other people doing, and whether it was chiming in or coming up with my own thing, there was just seemed to be this, I don't know, like this legion of women online who are really strong feminists. And so now that we have Trump in, I don't think feminism lost in 2016, because frankly, Hillary Clinton had more votes, and whether or not, you know, you were a big fan of her, whatever, she should have actually won.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there were so many things in why she didn't win. And, but it really wasn't about, oh, you know, the arguments that women have made, women and men have made for feminism lost. I just think now that we have what we have, perhaps there might be, a refreshed way to discuss it. The only thing that I'm not willing to give up, it's three things: sarcasm and humor, but mm-hmm, I will never, ever join this stupid argument that we should get rid of the name feminism, because that is letting the right wingers win.
Oh my God.
You know, I'm not,
no,
I will always
the,
keep
if that's
feminism.
The case, then I'm going to tattoo it on my forehead. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, what are you feeling? Like, how do you see it?
I'm with you. I feel lost. I feel, okay. Since the election, now, since we're just putting it all out there, I know how you like to put it all out there, and so do I. So I've been sober for over 16 years, 16 plus years of continuous sobriety. Now, I was a person who had a problem. Mm-hmm. So this is a really good thing. And I'm, you know, I love it. I'm proud of it. I've never done anything this long in my life, you know? Hmm. I have never felt so close to maybe relinquishing that long-term sobriety as I have since the election. Now, I'm not going to do it. I know I have tools and I can get a grip. But everything I stand for feels as though it's at risk. I'm at risk of losing my, you know, my, I am a fierce feminist and I grew up, I was raised by them, both my mom and my dad. And I was told at a very young age by both of my parents that if you're willing to put in the work, you can do whatever the fuck you want in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a message I give to both of my children. I have a boy and I have a girl. And I tell that to any kid. If you're willing to put in the work, you can achieve anything. You really can. If you're willing to try.
Yeah.
I feel like we have tried and we continue to try. But how hard did we just try as a group? And it was just, it was taken away from us by cheating. Mm-hmm. By a pussy grabber, okay? What is the message to us? I'm a woman in my 50s. I was waiting to like grab my mother, who's in her 70s, by the hand, and my daughter, and march off into the next era with a woman, a capable woman at the helm. Yeah. And now it's just like I feel I don't know if I'm answering your question, Kimberly, but. I feel like I want to fight every day. Like I want to physically fight every day. I want to verbally fight every day. I feel like I've got to do something. You know, I feel like I've got to take this time with you and send the message that we're not going down easy. Yeah. You may have kicked us feminists in the teeth, but
with cheating.
Now I'm going to fight harder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay? I just watched the other night, the last John Oliver, and he was just talking about the how gerrymandering, you know, how it works and how the redistricting and all of that, you know, works against whoever's got the, you know, like if it's a GOP politician and they're going to be drawing the lines, obviously it's going to benefit the GOP. Democrats are just as guilty of it. They're going to redistrict for Democrats and how we need a third party in there, even though you're never going to get somebody with no bias at all. But if there's going to be districting after the census, it's got to be done in a more fair way. Who determines that? I don't know. But I think, you know, aside from what's going on with the Russia thing and the interference in our election with that, you know, with Comey, with so many factors going into this election, I mean, it was really stolen, I think. It truly was stolen. It wasn't that it was outright rejected. But I think, here's what I think. Like, I look at, for instance, Chicks on the Right. And they like to, I know, but I always like to look at them because I think that they speak for such a large group of conservatives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you go and you talk, like if we could sit down and have dinner with conservative women and not talk about politics, but just talk about equality, I think we would find that we had more in common than it looks like online, if you're just going to look online, because everybody just want to scream at each other and call each other names. But, mm-hmm. you know, they want equality. They want to be treated as equals and earn enough money. They're being fed bullshit arguments that, you know, that the wage gap is a myth and all of that. But still, in the end, I think sometimes, you know, there's definitely that, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about those years and decades of right-wing smears. I think the same, you know, obviously the same can be said for feminism in general, and therefore some of the information that they have is wrong in the first place, and then they develop anger about it. But like, you know, for instance, when women marched and wore pussy hats, they kept referring to them as vagina hats. And it's like, no, it was cat pussy. Get it? And Donald Trump wanted to grab pussy, so whatever. But they right. turned it into vagina. And so I can understand that conservative women are put off by some of the more in your face, like I do, arguments mm-hmm. For being a feminist. And then so that's kind of where I feel like, do we change the art? Do we change the narrative now as feminists? Do we keep insisting that we scream vagina all the time? Because legislators are still obsessed with legislating it? Or is there some way that maybe we can alter our narrative that's makes them feel less offended? But I don't know, because I think anything we do seems to offend them.
Yeah, they're offended. I think they want to be offended in many cases.
Yeah.
Why, you know, I'm offended. And I've been offended for a long time. I can say what I want. Let me just be an equal, viewed as an equal. Because that's where the problem is. Like, if there are women out there that don't believe they're equal to men and don't believe this is a fight worth fighting, that's their choice.
Yeah.
But that's what I want. If I want to wear a pussy hat, if I want to call my own vagina a pussy, then that's for me to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, feminism is about choice. I mean, it's about equality of the sexes. And, you know, when you go down to the dictionary definition, it's basically it's the legal and the social equality of the sexes, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I saw some guy the other day who is my Facebook friend and I like him. And he says, I don't identify as a feminist. And I said, well, if you believe in equality of the sexes, you're a feminist, whether you believe you are or not. He actually kind of made a funny remark like, oh, well, coming from you. OK. And, you know, I mean, it's like, but that's the case. You know, I mean, and I'm really curious about, you know, you've heard that O'Reilly is going on vacation now.
Oh, really? Extended vacation?
I guess it's going to be a forever vacation, but it hasn't been
a permanent vacation. Yeah. Aerosmith.
It hasn't been an official, you know, he's not with us anymore, but he's just, I guess there's over 82 advertisers who have left, and that's just the ones who have made it public. There's a whole bunch of them that pulled, that didn't make a big deal out of it.
Right, right.
So, but I wonder, you know, what are women who watch Fox thinking? You know, I don't care what the men are thinking, but I'm just wondering, what, I mean, do they just see this as an isolated event? I mean, Roger Ailes, you know, had his own problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, please, it's the way, that's the way business is conducted over there, you know, and now they're just getting called on it. But I believe that's because loud bitches like you and I and men who feel the same way are voicing their opinions. Advertisers are showing, you know, it's about money. In mm-hmm. the end, it's about money and power, of course. And so when the advertisers pull, oh, well, then they're paying attention. Yeah. You know, maybe advertisers didn't pull when all that Roger Ailes shitstorm hit.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got this guy, Bill O'Reilly, who couldn't be more arrogant and more disgusting.
I know.
You know, he's quite possibly not as gross as Donald Trump, but really, really close. And so the money's going away. So they have to make these decisions, right? But it's not because women were violated or women were compromised. It that doesn't matter to people like that, you know? And so, you know, I don't know how women who continue to watch Fox News and don't have a problem with what's going on over there, I don't know how they reconcile that. I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't either. I don't want to criticize all the Fox women for how they dress, because I think as a feminist, well, but it just seems like it's like there's almost a memo that goes out that women have to appear a certain way in order to be on Fox. I mean, with the exception of what's that woman's name who's now on MSNBC? It's not Gretchen Carlson.
Greta Van Susteren.
Yes,
thank you. Yeah, I mean,
President Trump. President Trump. It's almost like Tom Brokaw got wasted and put his voice into Greta Van Susteren. Although I dig her.
Really?
I do, because I think she's. I like that she's in that environment and she's saying what she's saying, and it's coming from a different viewpoint. I mean, I don't. That's what I like about her.
Right.
And she's smart as shit.
I've never watched her, so I can't really say anything.
Well, I'm sure I'm Trump.
Well, I mean, she didn't fall into the, you know, the look of your normal fox woman.
Oh, God, no.
So, you know, I mean, I guess they did get some props for that. But she walked away with $20 million after suing Roger Ailes. So God only knows what he did to her. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think, I guess the only answer to this, I mean, all I can say is I'm struggling when it comes to my writing and focusing on feminist issues. I just find that I'm struggling. I see some things here and there on the internet, articles that are, you know, feminist themed. And I believe that, you know, I look at them and I don't know. I kind of feel still lost. Like, I kind of put myself out there as a feminist, and now I'm like, but I'm so also busy focusing on the Trump administration and what's happening with all the details there. And it's just kind of putting all that feminist stuff on the sidebar for now. And it's not to say that I think feminism should be on the side. It's just that there are so many pressing issues that right now I think they need to be front and center.
Yeah.
I guess.
And those pressing issues. I mean, if someone said, what are the other pressing issues that are on your mindset? Like, what keeps you up at night? Well, I'm still up in arms over the fact that the election was stolen, mm-hmm. and that Russia had a hand in it. And it's just a matter of time. Like, what the fuck is taking them so long? Like, is it, you know, we can confirm Neil Gorsuch in under 2 weeks, but we can't do an investigation and make some, you know, bring some hard facts to light and prosecute these people and get them out of there? And then does that not make the whole administration null and void? And, you know, like, I want there to be some magical way to say, oh, okay, so they cheated. They got into the White House by cheating. So then that means that all of this is null and void. I mean, let's leave we could put the gerrymandering on the side, because then that's a whole other discussion, right? With Congress and all that shit. But I want Trump gone. I want Pence gone. That freak who can't sit at a dinner table with another woman. I mean,
and he calls his wife mother.
Mother. I mean, can you even imagine what that's like in the bedroom? Oh, a mother. I mean, like, is he?
Mother, I need you to suck my dick now.
Oh my God! Totally. Oh. Mother doesn't suck. That mother doesn't suck.
No, she doesn't.
She sucks, but that mother does not suck. Oh, I can promise you that. They are so gnarly. But anyway, so there's that. Okay, then there's Jared Kushner, for example.
Jared of the corn, I call him.
Jared, I know. Oh, that was one of the best. That visual that you put up, I don't remember, a couple of days ago, that made me cry.
Bob made it.
Then there are all the morons in his cabinet. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it is a shit show on every single level. So that stuff worries me. Then Syria worries me. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's talking, I can't even pronounce the woman's name, but that Nimrod at Fox who interviewed him, Maria Bartolomeo or whatever her name is. And she's giggling like, what was it like when you ordered the strikes over dinner? Wait a minute. People are being killed. Yeah. Innocent people are being killed. And you're laughing. You want to know about the dinner and how he pulled it off?
And then he talks about the chocolate cake, the beautiful chocolate cake.
It's moron chocolate cake. On top of moron. They're so gross.
It is the very most beautiful chocolate cake you've ever had. the most wonderful, the most tremendous, very, very tremendous chocolate cake.
And then wait, Bob, what did she say about the missiles?
Oh, she asked if the missiles were, she commented that the missiles were unmanned. That's what Maria Bartiromo said.
Like, as if it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
We launched the missiles. They're beautiful missiles. They're from the Navy. Amazing missiles.
They were unmanned.
Yes, they were. They were unmanned.
No, actually, there was a dude strapped to each one as it went flying through
the sky.
I wish
Steve Bannon was one of them.
They're so stupid. It makes me crazy. And here I'm having a heart attack, but at least it's fun because you guys crack me up. But like, it's really, if we don't laugh, where are we?
I know.
So feminist issues, sidebar, but still at the forefront. Okay, because that's who we are. But we've got this problem with this illegitimate president and all the things that go along with that. We've got Russia collusion. And I just, like, to me, on a daily basis, I almost say a prayer to little baby Jesus, like, please, somebody bring Biscuit back. I want to see the pee-pee tapes.
I know. Well, here's two things. Well, one thing, Joy Reid tweeted this out. Carter Page, she has a source. Carter Page isn't the only Trump campaign ally who was the subject of a FISA warrant. A second target was recorded also, TikTok. So this should be interesting. Going back to what you said, how long is it going to take? I mean, clearly, we're all waiting. We're all waiting every single day. Yeah. I wake up and it's like, is today the day? Is today the day? But right. I do want them, hopefully the investigation is legitimate and fair. And then I'm willing to wait as long as we get the smoking gun. You know, I want that fucking smoking gun. And what's really pissing me off are the people out there who are screaming that the Trump-Russia thing is bullshit. And this is what I posted on Twitter. Everyday voters saying that the Trump-Russia thing is not a thing. It's just the same as Trump saying O'Reilly did nothing wrong. How the hell do they know? What proof do they have to run around screaming that the Russia thing is? It's like there's New York Times said it the best. There's too many coincidences to be coincidences.
Right. Let the real facts speak for themselves. And so I saw that Joy Reid tweet as well. And I mean, the TikTok is what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, because it's gonna happen, but then what's it gonna be like? I like, you know, best case scenario, he's just gonzo, right?
Yeah.
Best case scenario is he's gonzo. And the whole thing is a farce, so they all go away. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But am I just so idealistic that I believe that Pence should go too, because he's part of that team?
Well, of course he should, and it would be awesome. You know, since we have Republican run everything, you know, it'll be a shit show no matter what happens, and it's not going to be fair. We're not going to see anything fair. And in the end, we're still going to be left with a Republican administration. And the most frightening thought is that at the end of the Bush administration, we were, you know, teetering on a Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And it took somebody like Obama, who is so cool and smooth and intelligent, to steer us out of that. We are going to need somebody so fucking strong and smart and smart about the economy to steer us out of whatever hell the Republicans, whether it's Trump or Ryan or whoever it is, that's, you know, if indeed Trump is going to be out. You know, I actually talked to somebody who knows some things in the, you know, an insider.
Tell me.
Well, I mean,
I heard some things.
I heard some things.
People are telling me some things about Frederick Douglass.
He's doing a great job.
Well, I mean, it's not a big deal, but this person mentioned, it was a couple of weeks ago, look for Reince Priebus to go. And, okay, now they're talking about it. So, you know, I don't know what's really going to happen, but in the end, we're still going to be stuck with a GOP agenda. I think in some ways, here's what scares me about Trump is that he could, you know, the war thing. Again, John Oliver pointed out that he got all kind, you know, he's the kind of guy that thrives on applause. And so he got a bunch of applause from the fucking media for launching these airstrikes.
Right.
And that's scary in and of itself.
Yes, you know, it
is. He's been hinting around that there's something going on with North Korea, and that scares me. So, but take all of that out of it, the benefit and the Russia thing too, because I think he is kind of like a Russian agent installing more Russian agents, whether he knows it or not. Mm-hmm. I think that take those two things out. The benefit of Trump is that he is pissing off and destroying his own party, because, you know, he's got the Freedom Caucus hating his guts. He's still got those loyalists or those blind followers. You know, Ryan will just stick by him and stick his head up his ass the whole time, because it's beneficial for Ryan. But, you know, you've got the Tea Party people who are like, fuck you. And we're not going to vote with, you know, and then Trump insults them further and basically blames the fact that Planned Parenthood is staying open on the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
So I think that actually works to our benefit.
Beautifully.
Take him out of the office. We don't have that anymore. Then we have a more unified GOP, which is, I think, also incredibly scary.
Well, hopefully, I'd like to, you know, as awful, that's not nice. As much as I disagree with the Freedom Caucus.
Oh, they're awful.
Right. But they stood their ground and they were like, no, yeah. F you. This is not our agenda.
Right.
Okay. And then, but then the other ones, like the power hungry sacks of shit, fell in line with, you know, I think Ryan will do, he's like a feather in the wind, mm-hmm. you know, the spineless guy. I think that if Trump were to go, that the Freedom Caucus believes in what they stand for, what they believe in. And I don't know that they would sway as easily. I don't know. What the hell do I know? I just want them gone, and I want 2018 to be here so that we can pull a Kansas only a really – I mean, if we could do what we did in Kansas.
Yeah. Well, I'm hopeful about that.
Yeah, come on.
You know, for those who don't know, we had this special election yesterday for a House seat. And even mm-hmm. though the GOP guy won, he won with 52.5% of the vote. But the Democrats came in at 45.7%. This is fucking Kansas.
Right.
This is like as red as it gets.
Right. Right. In a district where previously what did Hillary do in the election? Like 23% or something?
Yeah. I don't know her stats, but it was low.
It was incredibly low. And just imagine, I think there are 100 seats up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this could be, we have to rally. But here's what bums me out on that, you know, in that regard with the Democrats. I ended up going down a Twitter hole last night, and I was reading a bunch of stuff, and I was reading about the Kansas election, and people were saying that the DNC didn't put any money towards the election, and that's because Tom Perez should resign. And then the Bernie people were standing up saying, you know, it was just very divisive. Mm-hmm. And that worries me that are the people in our own party can't let go and say, okay, above all, we need to unify and we need to make sure that everybody understands that the Republicans being out of power is what we need. That's the end goal. And so we all need to work together to make that happen in 2018 and not fight about how much we still hate Hillary and how Bernie would have won had he gotten the nomination. But let's come together and let's not blame people and let's use our resources to make sure that we take over in 2018.
Well,
I just don't know
holes.
That they're going to do that.
And you know what? I actually have some hopeful thoughts about this. And
okay, good.
And I'll share with you what I shared with Bob the other night. And I mean, I feel exactly the same way. It pisses me off. And, you know, look, I could criticize both Bernie and Hillary. There are certain things that both of them did, said,
totally.
Whatever. And I wish that Bernie, at this point in the game, would refrain from pointing the finger at Democrats and instead make suggestions on how to improve.
Mm-hmm.
That is a criticism that, you know, and you know I was a Bernie supporter. Who became a Hillary supporter. And I always want to emphasize, I wasn't a Bernie supporter who became a Hillary voter. I supported both and mm-hmm. I saw value in both. Mm-hmm. My preference was for Bernie's vision. It's really not about the person. It's about their vision and what they've been able to accomplish. So anyway, you know, I get pissed off when I see all the bullshit and the anger and the, divisiveness online. But this is how I'm looking at it. Regardless of what people think about Tom Perez, I know that they hate him automatically because he comes from the Obama White House, because he's viewed as the establishment Democrat, whatever. He and Keith Ellison have decided to work together and pull both sides. So, you know, mm-hmm. you've got the Bernie voters, you've got the Hillary voters, which we need. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going to happen, if you're paying attention to what's happening in whether it's town halls or local communities all over the United States, there are people from the Bernie side who are running for office. Mm-hmm. There are people from both sides, Hillary and Bernie, women who are running for office in record numbers, in numbers we've never seen before. So I think that what happened in Kansas is kind of like a little tiny hint of what's to come in 2018. And this is what I truly believe. I know that Tom Perez and Keith Ellison are going to kick major fucking ass.
I agree.
They're going to work very hard. They're going to pool their resources, pool their intelligence and strategies. And I think they're really going to perform. And then if we're fortunate enough to see success in 2018, I think the divisiveness is going to become something on the back burner. There's always going to be the crowd who is never going to be pleased. No matter what you do, they're just going to fucking hate and yell and scream. And you know what? They're going to be stuck into their little minority bubble and they can scream. But I think that we will get a rejuvenated sense of our own party if we can see a clear victory in 2018. And that will give us the momentum for 2020. And at this point in the game, I'm guessing the front runner for the nomination will be Elizabeth Warren. I do think she's going to run unless another Democratic rock star comes out. I think it's going to be Warren. Bob seems to have a thought here.
Martin O'Malley.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear.
Martin O'Malley is visiting New Hampshire.
Really?
The headline in Political Wire, O'Malley already hitting the early states. Former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley has scheduled a trip to New Hampshire where he might be laying groundwork for a second presidential run.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not a rock star.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a chance.
He's just not. I mean...
No.
Doom-de-doom. Yeah. You know, he's handsome. He looks the part. I mean, not to make it about that. But
right.
That's
no,
all.
I know what you mean.
You know, he's a governor of Maryland. He's not a dumb shit, but he's not a rock star. He's not, he doesn't have that, you know?
He's also shifty. Shifty to me. Yeah.
Bob's not shifty. A fan.
No.
I could barely, I wanted to just turn away during every debate when he opened his mouth.
He's just insincere.
I just be like, no, God, no, please, no.
Yeah. I mean, he insincere, one of those, put your hand on the radio and feel the warmth of my sincerity, guys.
Yeah.
He lacks authenticity. That's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. It's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know who else, I honestly don't know of anyone who could surpass Warren she would bring in both Hillary and Bernie voters.
But here's my fear about Warren. I love Liz Warren. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. Here's what I think, going back to feminism for a moment. I don't think the majority of men and women in this country are ready to see a woman in that office.
I disagree. I totally disagree. I actually think, first of all, they did vote for Hillary. And it just didn't work out. But, she got more votes.
Yes, she did.
You know,
yes, she
got
did.
Like the highest popular vote in comparison or something in history. So I actually do. I think it is. Look, it was time a long fucking time ago. But I think that with what we're experiencing with all of the sexist shit that's coming to such a head with the Trump administration and... the fact that, Hillary brought along a certain amount of baggage, not that it's her fault. She was facing, decades of smears, decades that won't
her
fucking
whole, her
die.
Her whole life in the public eye.
Yeah. And it won't die. So that was baggage. It was just really difficult baggage to overcome. That's not to say that she wasn't the most qualified fucking person in the world. She
in
was.
In the world. In the history of people who've run for president.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I think that Elizabeth Warren.
My point, Kimberly, is that I think because she is a woman, she was under far more scrutiny, obviously, because if she had grabbed someone's dick without their consent, can you imagine, she's held to a different standard, and I believe that after the Hillary thing, I fear that there are going to be people in this country who will say, no, not another woman. I'm certainly not one of them.
Well, but think about it this way. There was the third of people or the quarter people who voted for Trump, the quarter of Americans who voted for Hillary, and then the half of the rest of the country who did not vote.
Right.
I think now they've been, so many of them have woken up. I think Perez and Ellison are going after them. And then the thing is we outnumber the conservatives. We don't necessarily need all the independents. If we can get some of the independents who are just completely fed up with the Republican right. shit. And by the time, you know, it's 2020 and we're running and everything, God only knows what's going to be happening to the economy.
Right.
We'll have that in our favor. And as long as the Democrats are on the campaign trail talking about the things that matter to everyday people, which is the economy, and if there's a way that they can incorporate how equality benefits everybody economically, families, mm-hmm. you know, men, everybody. I think it's something that can be overcome. I always like to take that hopeful approach. Doesn't mean I'm always right, but I do see that there is some hope in Elizabeth Warren. But again, we're still early in and we don't know who's going to emerge, you know, and come up out of nowhere like Obama did. Like Bernie Sanders right. did. You know, there's somebody that just might blow us all out of the water that we never, you know, we're not even thinking about today.
Okay, let me ask a dumb question. I would be so all over Elizabeth Warren, let me just tell you, because there is no one who is more fierce than that woman.
I know.
And the thought of it makes my hair stand on end with just like excitement. Like she's unbelievable. What about Elizabeth Warren and Keith Ellison?
Yeah, I think that would be completely awesome.
Because as a person of color, and that is me, I've been ready to see someone of color, not, I mean, besides Obama, and I hate to say, you know, he was the best president that I've ever lived under, right? Mm-hmm. But that I don't want that to be a one-off.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it
And
would
I don't
be.
Want to make it be about color, but I also don't want people to say, well, we did that. We don't need to do that again and overlook the Tom Perez's of the world, the Keith Ellison's of the world, the Kamala Harris's of the world, the Maxine Waters of the, you know what I mean? Let's not. I think
the only way that would happen is if somehow the trajectory of race in America would be changing to become all white, and it's not. It's, you know, by, I don't know what the date they had set, but, you know, by X year, everybody's going to be tan.
It's soon.
So I think that's not necessarily, I think we're seeing a big fight for that. Mm-hmm. Because
because we have racists in power now.
Yeah.
So that, you know, our equal rights are being compromised as women. And I also think that we're going backwards with regards to how we treat people of color in this country.
Yeah,
I can't sit still for either of those things. I'd like to see all boxes checked, if possible, would be kind of nice for me in 2020.
Yeah,
just what I'm saying.
We're just going to have to keep our eye on that, and mm-hmm. we can talk. But I do feel that there's hope. So right now we're going to start the transition of going into our other segment and another thing. But hold on, mm-hmm. before we do, I just want to say you can support our show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And, you know, you can pledge any amount you want. Mm-hmm. You can do $1 and you'll get our undying gratitude. And then if you pledge $5, you'll get access to the bonus show and another thing. And today we're going to be talking about virginity and sex and some private juicy information. And then right now, right now there's still a free there's still a bonus show, which if you pledge $10 a month, you'll get access to that. This may change in the future. I'm just giving everybody fair warning right now, you know, we'll do one this month. It may be with Bob Seska, and that might be juicy too, but you know.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. So anyway, hang around for And Another Thing if you're a subscriber. If not, thank you for listening to our free show. And yay, Stephanie, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Are you kidding?
All right. Hang in there.
I smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share.